My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
Sports Radio 610 presents Payne and Pendergast.
No Sean Pendergast today. Brandon Scott in, holding it down with Seth Payne. And I wanted to do this because, you know, Nick Caserio got a lot of praise in a piece that The Athletic did, looking at the state of different organizations. And it was an anonymous piece, but, you know, I think we liked it because most of it was positive for the Texans, you know.
The author wasn't anonymous, but the agents were anonymous.
Fair enough. That's a good clarification there. The agents themselves were anonymous, so it's basically an anonymously sourced article on sort of the state of the league and different things like that. But it did get me thinking, and part of this also was being at the Texans season premiere last night, it got me thinking about their various draft classes. Saw some of those guys. And of course, you know, they got some young players on this team that they're expecting a lot of big things from. But I wanted to just kind of break it down, go over them all. We did it on the 2021 class. We did it on the 2022 class in the 7 o'clock hour. So I encourage y'all to go check that out in the Odyssey app or even on our YouTube channel. You can just kind of scroll back a couple hours and find that. But let's move on to 2023. The sophomore year, if you will. The class of sophomores, if you will. C.J. Stroud, Will Anderson Jr., Juice Scruggs, Tank Dell, Henry Toa-Toa. And then on the back end here, you have Jarrett Patterson. And, of course, Xavier Hutchinson, someone who made the team, who I think people are rightfully excited about based on the training camp and preseason that he had. I would go with it like this, Seth. C.J. Stroud, we've talked a lot about.
Yeah.
Will Anderson Jr., we've also talked a lot about. Mm-hmm. I would point out, we can just start with Will. For me, I don't have a whole lot of questions about C.J. I think C.J. is going to be just fine. I'm excited to watch him. Want to see how everything just develops in year two. With Will Anderson, I am curious on what it looks like with his refined pass rush moves, which he started to develop toward the end of last year, but weren't really obvious to the naked eye early in the year. It just seemed like he had that bull rush. And, yo, his get-off is phenomenal.
Like, he gets across the line of scrimmage very, very quickly.
Oh, yeah. It is insane. It is insane the way he's able to do that at that rate. And so, in a lot of ways, he just didn't need a lot of moves because he moved so damn quickly. There wasn't a whole lot you could do with him. And he's stronger than he looks, probably, to be the size that he is. I want to see the refined pass rush moves and, by the way, the ankle injury that's limited him as of late. And I don't think is going to keep him out of week one, but we don't know for sure yet. I don't think it is. That is also a mild concern for me, something to put a pin in, something that I'll be thinking about throughout the season until it doesn't appear to be a concern any longer.
Yeah, people keep bringing up the Steph Curry example, where Steph Curry, early in his career, he just had chronic ankle issues. And it looked like it would be, you know, early in Steph Curry's career, it looked like, oh, promising guy, but you know what? He might just not be physically built for this. He figured out a way to keep his ankles healthy, and it worked out all right for him. He did all right, unfortunately.
Steph Curry, good at basketball, you think?
Yeah, if Will Anderson ends up being a football version of Steph Curry, that would I'd be pleased with that outcome. I think the other thing, too, with Will Anderson is that back when in college and in the NFL, when he looks best with his hands, it's been when he's rushing on the inside. He's like a kung fu master when he's inside the offensive tackle, or when he comes around on a game or a blitz and he's rushing on the inside. Last year, he hadn't really transferred that to when he's rushing on the outside. And it sounds like it should be the same thing, but there's a whole different timing and rhythm to it. Your footwork is different. And I know it's in him because he's lethal with it on the inside. I'm just hoping to see that he's figured out how to transfer being so good with his hands when he's rushing off the edge. Because that's one of the things that really kept... There were times where he turned things into bull rushes far more often than he should have or than he needs to, especially when you're going against these 335-pound freakish athletes where some of those guys are just hoping you're going to try to bull rush them. You know, Laremy Tunsil hopes you try to bull rush him because he's just going to sit on it, let you get a few yards of progress, and then there you go. So, there's still upside with – there's still things Will Anderson needs to improve on. The one thing – I did this earlier in the year, Brandon – and I can't find the list in my Google Docs. But I had kind of just casually said, you know, Sean Pendergast, at the time I was talking to him, most of these guys who are great pass rushers, they get single-digit sacks in their first year, and then it's in their next year that they kind of blow up. And I went back and looked at the guys who are the sack leaders over the last 10 years, and I was kind of shocked by how accurate I was. It's very rare that the Nick Bosa's, the J.J. Watts, the Aaron Donalds, any of those guys had double-digit sacks in their first year. When they do, it's like 10 or 11 sacks at most. But then in their second year, in Bosa's case, he missed his second year, so it was in his third year, but his second year of playing, that's when they really take off. And it kind of speaks to just how much of a science pass rushing is, that as good as those guys were, they were raw by NFL standards in their rookie year. So, and it doesn't look, lots of guys get single digit sacks in their first year and then never get double digit sacks ever. So it's not like it's definitely going to happen that way. But right now, he's on the normal course of progression for guys who do become elite pass rushers.
Yeah. I mean, he was able to win NFL Defensive Rookie of the Year despite, I mean, I think that even speaks to the point that you're making. Like, the standard for rookie pass rusher, even elite rookie pass rusher, isn't necessarily double digit sacks. And yeah. I know he's got, you know, we're in a more analytically friendly environment these days, and there are some advanced stats that were friendly to Will Anderson that
if a
lot of people and voters studied them, they would have been up on Will Anderson very early on in the year, even when he was struggling to kind of finish plays and get sacks. But I do think him winning that award, and combined with the fact that we're more aware with the better numbers that we have, kind of exposed him to more eyes. It's not just, hey, let's see who got the most sacks. Who was most disruptive in a game? And Will Anderson was often that, despite not having this, like, diverse repertoire, if you will.
My favorite thing about Will Anderson was that he rejected those advanced analytics because on the pass rushing side, because you know I do embrace the analytics where it's appropriate, but when it comes to some of those pass rush win rate stats and everything, as of right now, where they are in the development of them, they're garbage. They really, like, some of them are based on GPS data and like how close you get to a quarterback. And Will, I was really excited when I heard Will talk towards the end of the season about how, like, yeah, you know, that double team rate and the win rate and stuff, like those weren't telling the whole story. There were parts where I just wasn't doing things as well as I needed to. And they were a good sign, and they were a good, it was good that he was doing as well as he was in them, but they kind of hid some of the bigger issues that he had. And I don't even like calling them issues because they're normal rookie pass rusher stuff. I was really glad that Will understood it for what it was, that, Yeah, he was getting close but no cigar a lot, but there were it wasn't bad luck.
Yeah.
Sometimes you can have a great year rushing the passer and you only end up with 9 sacks, but it's because of bad luck. With Will, it wasn't because of bad luck. It was because he hadn't developed some of those things that you need to do in the last 0.75 seconds of a pass rush to actually finish the deal. So, like, there was no part of him that was deluding himself into thinking, like, no, I'm actually kicking ass. Like, he knew that there was work he had to do.
Yeah, he talked to us on Radio Row ahead of the Super Bowl about finishing plays and said very plainly as well, like, as a defensive end, it is about sacks. Like,
yeah.
Like he made it very plain, didn't try to – like, very black and white, no gray area, no nuance. Just look, you as a defensive end, when you're trying to be a premier pass rusher in this league, you want to get sacks. You want to complete the play, finish the play, and get sacks. He talked about that on Radio Row. We talked about it again with him during training camp right there on the practice field. And so he's very – I give Will Anderson credit for being very self-aware. Like, I think him and CJ are alike in that way, especially for young players. Very self-aware, but then also willing to correct and work on things like a true student of the game, and did not think that just because he's Will Anderson and we've been talking about him since his sophomore year at Alabama and all of these great things, that he was just like the best thing since sliced bread and that he had already arrived and didn't need to improve on things. He has taken criticism, I think, to heart in all of the right ways and seemingly applied it to his game, or at least I want to see it translated when I watch him out there in 2024.
Yeah, that's I think there's a lot of I think sometimes these days people say, well, pressures matter more than sacks, and it's a really nuanced topic, probably better suited for a podcast, but it annoys the hell out of me because it turns into one of those classic sports discussions where it has to be either or. Like, they're like, no, they're of paramount importance, or no, they don't matter at all. Like, the answer is somewhere in between. It flat out is. The fact of the matter is, if you get a boatload of pressures over time, unless something else is wrong, you're also going to get a boatload of sacks over time. And it might fluctuate from year to year, but the really good pass rushers are consistently in the double digits. We're like, Jadeveon Clowney's a great example of a guy that gets a boatload of pressures and everything, but there's very specific reasons he doesn't get double-digit sacks, and it's some of his deficiencies as a pass rusher. It's like, there's nobody that watches year in and year out that thinks that Jadeveon Clowney is one of the premier pass rushers. It's that he's underrated. He's underrated because he doesn't get those sacks, but it doesn't mean that he's also, no, he's actually one of the best pass rushers in the league.
Yeah, underrated. In other words, try blocking him. Ask the people that have to go up against him how pleasant of an experience it is, especially when he's right and when he's healthy. It's not that great of an experience.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
In life, some days are good, and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work. Both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey. And then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not-so-good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
Well, real quick on Will Anderson. Dealing with an ankle injury, seemingly on track to play week one, but we'll see how things play out next week. I think it's going to be really important monitoring practice, see if he's got his helmet, how active he is in practice, But injured now, dealing with the ankle injury. We'll see how things play out. And I want to mention your injury report brought to you by Mokarum Law. Want to point that out. So also, as we go along with this class, another one that I want to bring up to you, Tank Dell, as we mentioned injuries, Tank Dell coming back from an injury, obviously, had an unfortunate incident during the offseason where he suffered a gunshot wound. So he's coming back, let's just be plain about it, from a broken leg and a gunshot wound. And he looked good in training camp, looked good, I thought, in the preseason, obviously. I feel like with Tank Dell, it's easy to kind of not forget because he's really an exciting player. But with all the attention going to Stephon Diggs and that acquisition, and then Nico Collins getting his contract, I feel like Tank Dell could very well be like their touchdown leader or like some random offensive stat leader for this team, even if he's not definitively their best player or even their best pass catching option.
Well, I think the biggest thing with Tank is that when you've got those other two wide receivers out there, it creates more space for all three of them at any given moment. But Tank's the one that's got still, I think, the best ability to all of a sudden seep through the coverage or sneak his way into a seam way, way, way downfield. Or, you know, sneak behind the coverage because those defensive backs have so many tracer bullets flying around in front of them. And then also just on the underneath stuff, the run after the catch ability, that he's just in his physical prime more so than Stephon Diggs. Stephon Diggs, I think, is underrated for his run after the catch ability. But yeah, Dell might be the guy that has the fewest receptions out of all of them, but the most touchdowns.
Yes, that's a better way of saying what I was trying to say. That's exactly
That's where I felt like with both him and Nico, when I think both of them have kind of mentioned what their receiving yardage goals are at some point in the season, I'd rather have them focus on touchdowns. I think because that's more in their control. It's a weird thing to say, but like, yeah, I think the touchdowns, because it can be based on the run after the catch, I think that's more in their control than the actual total number of targets and everything else that goes along with it.
Yeah, I'm trying to remember if it was just straight up poor tackling or if even Tank Dell, at his diminutive size, is somewhat underrated for breaking tackles.
Well, yeah.
And I mean, he's a little dude. Don't get me wrong. I understand.
Yeah. But if you think about some of it, too, when you look at that touchdown in the Steelers game, one of the reasons that worked as well as it did and that he had as much space as he did was that he really widened his route at the beginning and really pulled that inside defender out before he came back across the field. And it's kind of some of that nuanced route running stuff that both he and Nico Collins are really good at for young. Well, Nico's not young anymore, but Slowick's got them working the defensive backs the right way. And that creates a lot of extra space too.
100%. He is Seth Payne. I'm Brandon Scott in for Sean Pendergast. As we roll along, coming up next, I got a position group that I feel like we're not talking about enough. I want to get Seth Payne's thoughts on it. That's next on Payne and Pendergast, Sports Radio 610.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to LinkedIn.com/results to claim your credit. That's LinkedIn.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whoops. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often, it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Norsides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Nor Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit nor.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
Sometimes in football, you need just a little more for that first down. You need to be pushing the pile. And on our new podcast, we'll give you that extra effort.
I'm Mike Renner, a longtime NFL analyst who helped develop player evaluation systems that every NFL team uses to this day.
And I'm Kyle Long, former All-Pro offensive lineman in the NFL who knows a thing or two about getting people moving.
You'll get expertise from inside the trenches and behind the tape for 4 episodes every week. So make sure you download and subscribe to the Pushing the Pile podcast on the Odyssey app.